Welcome to the weekly podcast from Christ Community Church. If you would like more information about this podcast or Christ Community Church, please visit our webpage at www.gochristcommunity.com. Blessings and enjoy the sermon.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. Would you put your hands together for your pastor and the worship team this morning? And I came all the way from Florida to just let you know how tall your pastor is this morning. I think I could just hide under here, Pastor Rob. I think I could just stand right in the middle. Y'all doing all right? It's great to be here. I've been looking forward to this since your pastor and I had a phone call late spring. We had a conversation that led to us talking about bringing the Laugh All Night comedy tour to your church, which will be here tonight at 6 o'clock with stunt comedian Max Winfrey. We're going to clear the stage, and he's going to throw some things around and have a great time. So please invite back your neighbors, your cousins, your family, your cats, your dogs. Bring them, okay? Speaking of dogs, I'm just going to take a moment. Poll of show of hands. How many of you have a pet at home? Okay, pet at home. How many have a dog at home? Okay, good. Hands still raised. How many of you have more than one dog? Okay, good. I'm with my people. I love this. Okay, so here's the deal. So I kind of got to get something off my chest this morning, if I may. I'm just talking to family for a moment. Is that all right? It's been a little bit of a hard season in our family because we have two German short-haired pointers, Duke and Daisy, and they're brother-sister, and so they have obviously been together since hello, and unfortunately, we lost our boy, and I don't know about you, but it's been kind of an interesting season. You know, when you think about life, I know that there's a lot of other situations and maybe problems that may seem more urgent than a dog passing, but man, it's really messed up our home. Our girl dog now, Daisy, she's an only child now. She's milking it for all it's worth. Can I tell you? She's milking it. But unfortunately, our boy dog suddenly went blind, and then we found out he had a brain tumor. So for the dog lovers here, I feel like I'm with my family. For the cat lovers here, any cat, we'll pray for you later, okay? We'll have a time of prayer. So nonetheless, I want to just give you a little brief introduction of who I am and where I came from, because I think it's important to remember, you know, where you came from. And my father was a pastor for 25 years, and I grew up in church, so I'm a recovering preacher's kid. And there was actually one season of our life that we actually lived in the church for 5 years. And then my dad, like most pastors, can become a workaholic in ministry is a seven-day-a-week kind of situation. And so my mother decided to surprise my dad with some sailing lessons as a gift. And so my dad would go to this lake and learn to sail, and then he had this grandiose idea to buy his own sailboat. And so dad bought a sailboat, and we would actually go sailing in Newport, Rhode Island, and he began reading about the islands of the Caribbean, because we were up in the northeast in Massachusetts, and I was born in Boston, and so dad was dreaming about sailing to the Caribbean. And in the process of reading about the islands of the Caribbean, he learned about the island of Hispaniola, and read how Haiti, the western third of that island, was the poorest country in our hemisphere. And so he was shocked. So back in the 70s, dad would go on mission trips to Haiti and give some money away, and on some follow-up trips, he wasn't happy with the impact. And he thought, you know, that the money could have been making a better difference. So again, he had another grandiose idea, and dad's like, we're going to go start a mission to Haiti. But our church was actually no bigger than your church, and dad decided to start a mission to Haiti, and we literally moved there in 1983, and we camped out in tents, literally as a family. We lived in tents for 3 months while we built our first building. We arrived on a Thursday, and the very first Sunday, we started a church under coconut trees on the property that we bought, and we hung a banner between two coconut trees that said, Haiti Espérance en Dieu, which was in French, Haiti Hope in God. But the people that came to the church that first Sunday are from villages, and if you're illiterate, you don't speak French. You actually speak the native language of Haitian Creole. So can you imagine you're a Haitian villager coming to this church service, and you see this banner, you can't even read it, and you're thinking, what does it say? They'll eat you after church. They don't know what it says. So that was our humble beginnings of New Missions back in 1983. My dad passed away now 13 years ago, and I came alongside and helped in that transition of succession, and we moved forward in planting more churches. So now we have 35 churches that we have planted across the island of Hispaniola, 30 in Haiti and 5 in the Dominican Republic, to the glory of God. Isn't that awesome? And across all of those church campuses, alongside each of the churches, we establish a Christian school. Because we want to influence culture, but we also know that for more than 50% of the children in these communities, they don't have access to education. So we provide them a free Christian education on those campuses. And this year, we literally have over 9,000 students attending school across all of our campuses. Yeah, to the glory of God. So it's been a long, consistent journey, and that's what I love about your church here today. I was telling Max, because he's like, Max is like, Tim, how long have you known Pastor Rob? It's like 6 months, pretty much, since that first phone call. But I felt immediately just a family-like bond to come here and be with you as a church family and celebrate what God has been doing here through your legacy and your history. And now with Pastor Rob being here. And so today I step into, well, I kind of really can't step into it because I'm so short, but I stand next to the pulpit of your church today out of deep reverence to who God is. And then also out of deep respect to the families and the generations that have influenced this community through your church. And I believe right now more than ever, the local church is the greatest force for good. When I think about the country of Haiti and the transformation that has happened in villages where there was only voodoo, but we went and planted a church, hope became alive because Jesus became the answer to those people. And so more than ever, right now today, at your church family, I'm just here today as really a big encouragement, and I know your pastor's teaching is powerful, and I'm more kind of like story time with Tim, so we're going to dive into this message this morning, and I'll get you out early because we do want to beat the Baptist to lunch, okay? And I grew up, I'm non-denominational, so our mission is non-denominational. I was ordained through the Southern Baptist. That's a long story because I led worship for 10 years at churches. So I love the worship this morning. I actually wanted to be a drummer growing up, by the way. So because my brother was in a punk rock band playing drums, I thought that was cool. But I actually learned how to play the keyboard. But my dad, the first instrument he let me learn was the violin because that was the instrument that was free at public school. They were teaching violin, so I learned violin. But so I love worship and love the church, and I'm here today really to give you a big hug and let you know that you're a part of the greatest force for good. And right here in this community, I just hope that we go from here today with a deeper passion for the call of God upon our lives, to be a part of His great mission, which is the local church. And so I want you to just do something. I know this is very anti-social distance, but I don't care. Tap somebody and say, tag, you're it. Go ahead. Tap somebody and say, tag, you're it. That's it. Y'all just met the local church, okay? So tag, you're it. Because when we go from here, we're scattered. But when we come in here, we're gathered. And so we come here to be launched out into our communities, into our workplaces, into our schools, into our neighborhoods, as the local church, mobilized. And so this morning I have a message on my heart that I've prepared that I want to share with you today titled, The Fastest Way to Change the World. Repeat after me, the fastest way to change the world. One more time, the fastest way to change the world. Because more than ever, I don't know about you, but where I live, I can feel it and I can tell that more than ever, people are searching for more peace and for more love and for more joy. And our world and our communities and our culture is so much at odds with one another. We do need more peace. Can I get an amen? We do need more love and we do need more joy. And there's a confusion about what love is and where joy comes from and how to actually find peace. I mean, okay, puppy friends, if we just give everybody a puppy, we could bring peace to the world. Can I get an amen? I'll tell you right now, my wife's probably thinking we need another puppy because Daisy doesn't like being lonely. So, but anyways, okay, that's my squirrel. I'm going to have that little ADD gift, you know, squirrel, and you just chase it, so. But I have a question as we kind of kick off this message today, and that is, are you waiting for the world to change? Are you waiting for the world to change? And we can look outside the lens of the scope of our perspective, and we can see the culture around us, and we can go, things aren't going well. We got a problem. Hello, Houston. There's a problem. And we can be waiting, just passively stepping back and pausing and just waiting for the world to change. But that's not a proactive stance. That is not the gospel. The gospel is very proactive. It's very personal. It's very intentional. And so as we go from here today, I want us to become a part of the fastest way to change the world. And the fastest way to change the world is to introduce others to Jesus. The fastest way to change the world is to introduce others to Jesus. And it starts with you and me. Tag, you're it. And so in this message today, I'm going to open up scripture and we're going to see how Jesus instructed us to do this. And the first scripture I want us to turn to, and you can put your thumb on that place or you can swipe, scroll. It's going to be Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We'll come to that in just a moment. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Because a very passive approach to the gospel is in a season when there's a pandemic or there's negativity or there's concern and fear, we can step back and go, whoa, wait a minute, not going to think about others, going to think about ourselves. I'm going to cocoon into my own little world and I'm going to be protective and prepared for me, but I'm not going to think about you and my neighbor and the coworker. But that's not the position of the gospel today. The gospel is for us to be proactive. We're not waiting for the world to change. We're stepping into the world to see the change, and it starts with us. And so this morning, I want to tell you a story of generosity and how your church has been proactive in being a part of the fastest way to change the world. Even in this past year when a lot of things were somewhat on the pause or the slowdown, your church was not in the delay, but it was actually in the advancement of reaching people personally. Did you all know when you feeding, your church has been feeding the homeless through your Go Love bags of food to provide care and concern to people personally in a season when most people would be passive? You've been proactive and you stepped into their store and you said, hey, we're here to love you. We're here to bring you food in a time of need. Your church was proactive in doing something innovative this past summer. You all launched a VBS program here at the church and opened up your doors for families all across the community for kids to come and really be touched by Jesus, which is the fastest way to change the world. You were proactive in reaching homes that may not have ever sent their kids to church, but they came and saw how caring and how loving and how personal your church family is. And then one of my favorite stories that your pastor was telling me was that you took an initiative to reach the students and you offered a four-day program for the students here at the church, and you were able to reach them with not only teaching but evangelism and preaching the gospel and sharing with them how Jesus can change their lives. And friends, let me tell you, if we're not reaching the younger generation, we're going to be virtually extinct in 20 years. They say the gospel will go away in one generation. And so we do need to be proactive in the gospel. We do need to be proactive as a church. And so you have modeled that in your generosity and in your giving to feed the homeless, to open up your doors to serve families, to reach the students. Because I have to tell you this, is that the question I have is, that does your life intrigue others? Does your life intrigue others? Because the way that you love and show generosity, it causes others to be curious. And your church has been brave with your love and bold with your generosity in reaching the community and open up your doors. Even tonight, hosting a Laugh All Night comedy concert for free. Come on out, family. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. I mean, you're being bold with your love and brave with your generosity. And that causes others to be curious. Because they begin to look in and they begin to ask the question, why are you so loving? Why are you so caring? Why are you stepping into my story and showing up and visiting as pastor would do home-to-home visitation and spend time with families and pray with them in times of need? What are you doing? I know it may be a profession, but it's a calling and it's personal. And tag, you're it. Each of us gets to go into the world in which we live, and we get to show them our love and show them our generosity. And that causes them to be intrigued. And so we capture their attention, and then guess what? We get to be a part of the fastest way to change the world. We get to introduce them to Jesus because we were present in their lives. Because Jesus is the fastest way to change the world. This is how Jesus describes it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And he says it this way, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." See, I grew up in church and we used to sing this song, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, hide it under a bushel." No. I didn't hear you. "Hide it under a bushel." No. You see, friends, to hide it under a bushel is very passive. But no, we're not waiting for the world to change. We're gonna step out into the world and we are gonna shine. We are gonna be brave with our love and bold with our generosity, so that they may be intrigued. Jesus wants us to shine, not to hide. And if I could give you guys a breaking news report, culture wants you and I to be muted. Muted. So I have a friend who started a radio station in Central Florida, and he does these surveys with listeners to find out what songs to play. And do you know what they do? They go to a hotel and they put people in a conference room, and then they actually play music, and it based on the volume shift, if they listen to the song and turn up the volume, that's a song they play in the radio. If they turn the volume down, they don't play the song. I mean, talk about magical data, right? I mean, if you don't like it, what do? You tune it out. You shut it off. You fade it out. That's what's happening in culture when it comes to what you and I believe. Why? Because it's counterculture. So let me just say something. I'll speak to Pastor Rob's heart. The Word of God, some people say, well, we want our church to be relevant. No, friends, the Word of God is counterculture. This is called conviction. It's supposed to cause us to be uncomfortable because we're supposed to change. This is revolutionary. It's supposed to make us like Christ, not let you, because this is the world we live in right now. The world we live in is like Burger King. Have it your way. Am I preaching too loud this morning? The world is have it your way. What religion do you want? Make one up. What does this Bible mean? I don't know. Have your own interpretation. We don't care. I mean, that's really the way it's gone. We're being faded out, but Jesus wants us to shine. About that for a pit stop. Jesus wants us to shine. And friends, I'm here this morning to encourage you not to be silent, not to wait for the world to change, not to hide it under a bushel, no. But this church is so strategically placed in a community that you all get to be a part of the fastest way to change the world, because your life intrigues others, because you're brave with your love and you're bold with your generosity, and people become curious because of the way that you love and show your generosity to them. In 2019, my grandfather passed away at 101 years old. And I went to the funeral, and my mother was walking my grandmother down front, and I jumped up. I was playing the piano, by the way. I was doing the pre-service hymns and singing stuff. And I jumped up from the piano and I ran over to my grandmother to help walk her to see Grampy. And she looks at me and she says, "Timmy," she called me Timmy. "Timmy, I want to take him home with me." You see, my grandmother and grandfather celebrated 80 years of marriage. They were the longest living married couple in the state of Massachusetts. And that next week, I was at grandma's house, and I can feel it and I can smell it. I'm sitting on her couch, it's got that squeaky plastic, and I'm trying to cuddle up to the Afghan, I'm sitting next to grandma, and I knew I needed to ask her something, and so I, I wanted to remember the moment, and I pulled out my phone, and I turned on the voice memo app, and I started recording the conversation. I said, Graham, I need to ask you a question. When was it that you made Jesus Lord of your life? And Grandma that day told me a story of how she was 14 years old, and her mom and their family of eight were looking for an apartment to rent in Boston, Massachusetts. And they went to visit this apartment complex, and they were walking around, and the landlady, Caroline, was giving them a tour. And my grandmother's mom was telling Caroline, the landlady, how my grandmother wasn't feeling well, 14 years old, sick. And Caroline began to tell them how she was a Christian, and she went to church, and she believes in God. And so my great-grandmother turns to the landlady and says, well, if your God is for real, then invite my daughter Anna to church with you. And so my grandmother told me she was invited to church by Caroline at 14 years old. And she showed up to church for the first time. And at the end of the service, she walked down front and she knelt and prayed to make Jesus Lord of her life. And she went back home and she told her mom about what happened. And her mother prayed to make Jesus Lord of her life. And then a year later, her father prayed to make Jesus Lord of her life. You see, my grandmother, she became the evangelist to the family. Because my question to us today is, does your life invite others? Does your life invite others? Because you and I can never underestimate the impact of a single invite. You see, my grandmother was invited to church at 14 years old. And well, the rest is history. Then my mother was raised in that family. And then our family was called to go to Haiti to start a mission. Why? Because we knew that Jesus was the fastest way to change the world. I'm old-fashioned. I still believe Jesus is the answer for our world today. Amen? Above him, there is no other. For Jesus is the way. You see, Grandma became that invite to our family to be introduced to Jesus. 2020, June, Grandma passed away. I wasn't able to get to Massachusetts for her funeral. And my mother was at her home after the service, and she texted me, and she says, is there anything that you want from Grandma's house? And all I could do, Pastor Rob, in response to my mom, was tell her, no, because Grandma already gave me everything I could ever hope for. Because Grandma introduced our family to Jesus. I want to introduce you to the master inviter. And I want you to turn with me back up just a chapter to Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, the master inviter. Matthew 4, verse 19, it reads, then he said to them, come, follow me. See, Jesus was the master inviter. Can you imagine being in the village or on the hillside and Jesus sees you and he says, come, follow me. You see, Jesus was the master inviter. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And then I will send you out to fish for people. Because, friends, this is not about us. See, we're invited by Jesus to be a part of the fastest way to change the world. And that is for you and I to depart from here today. We gather here. We worship here. We are so thankful to be here. But we scatter from here. And we go from here. And our life begins to invite others. Because even tonight, you can invite someone back. Hey, do you like comedy? Do you like to laugh? Come on out to laugh all night. Hey, do you want to hear about how God can bring peace into an imperfect situation? Pastor Rob is sharing a message next Sunday. I want you to come hear it. See, you can invite people to come find where peace comes from. Find where love is the source. Because our Bible teaches us that God is love. He is the source of it. Right? Those that don't love don't know God is what the Bible says. We can't be upset at the neighbor that doesn't love us. Why? Because they're far from God. They're confused. Of course they're going to be mad at us. It's not personal, people. It's spiritual. They don't hate you and you don't hate them. It's the division of the spiritual alignment in their life. They don't know Jesus. Are we shocked? So Jesus invites us. He says, come, but then he sends us out. So does our life invite others? And may you not underestimate the impact of one invite. Who but knows? You may invite one young person to come to church. You may invite one coworker, and who but knows how that will change the trajectory of that family and their history. I like to say it this way, and each of us are born into a family, right? We have a mom and a dad, or we have a birth family. But we also have a spiritual lineage. When I think about Abraham, you think about the Old Testament, you think about the lineage spiritually that we have and that our lives become a part of spiritually. Let me ask it differently. What will be in heaven your spiritual lineage? I'm talking about the people and the lives you touched spiritually, not the son or the daughter you may have or you may yet to have. But the people spiritually that are in your spiritual lineage because they met you and you introduced them to Jesus. Think about that. How profound that is, that we are invited by the creation of the earth, by the creation of mankind, to be a part of the fastest way to change the world, that our lives would actually invite others. So I live in a neighborhood that's somewhat rural, and what that means in Florida is we have some acreage, but we love the outdoors, and we like to burn stuff. So Target was having their summer clearance last summer, and my wife loves me so dearly, she goes in and she buys all the lighter fluid on clearance, you know, right? She's at the checkout. Pastor Rob was telling us some explosive stories last night at dinner, so he likes to burn stuff too, I'm sure. But so literally, my wife's at the checkout at Target, and she's unloading, like, bottle number 19. The guy's looking at her like, what is your intent with all this glider fluid? Well, my husband likes to burn stuff. You know, so neighbors come over, you know, we meet at the fire pit, we're always burning stuff. I try to reach my neighbors by going outdoors. I find the conversation opens up when we go outside and gather around a fire pit, and I don't know, it just kind of somehow drops all the guards and all the concerns, and whether they believe differently than I do or not, it's just great to come together. So I've tried the last 6 years since we moved out into this rural part of Florida to be more intentional with my neighbors. I have a gift for you to help you love your neighbors more. I'll share with you at the end of the message. But so my neighbors and I, we do things together. We invite each other to go out for pizza or grab wings. And recently, there was a neighbor selling their home, and unfortunately, they found out on the survey that their fence line was 14 feet into the neighbor's yard. And he texted me, he said, Tim, I need your help. We can't close on the house until we move the fence. And closing's happening in a week. I need some guys to come over and help. So, like a good neighbor, I called some other neighbors and says, you go help. No, I'm kidding. No, I started inviting some other neighbors, and seven of us guys showed up at this Kevin's house. And Kevin and Vicky Ferros, they were moving up to Tennessee from Florida. And so we went over there that day, started taking off those four-board horse fence, but you know, and them taking out the posts and everything, and we moved it over, and Pastor Rob, I wish I could tell you we did a straight fence line. It wasn't that straight, but it was done, and we were happy. It was over, and we went out for ribs after. Amen? Can I get a witness? Praise Jesus. Ain't nothing like guys working hard together and then going out for ribs. That's a good day's work. So we had a good Saturday together helping one another, because my question to us today is, does your life involve others? Friends, I think one of the greatest hurts I have felt in the last 18 months is how our culture has become so isolated. See, that's exactly where the enemy would want you. Is in a place of loneliness and isolation, where you can begin to listen to the lies and the doubts and the disbelief and fall into a deeper, darker depression and loneliness. No, you see, God made us to do life together. You're not intended to do life alone. You're supposed to be a part of a small group here at church and connected to family. In the Dominican Republic, we call it La Familia, the family. See, I can't say this enough, but life is better and stronger together. I don't want to do life alone. Max and I are on the road this week together. Next weekend, I'm in New York. I fly into LaGuardia, and comedian David Dean and I are on the road for the weekend. I don't want to do life alone. Last Tuesday of the month is Guys Night Out in our neighborhood. I'll invite over 40 men from my neighborhood to go out to meet for pizza or wings or bowling. I don't want to do life alone. God intended for us to do life together. You may have a neighbor next door. You can invite, hey man, I'm going to light up the grill and come on over for some burgers. And who but knows where that conversation will go? Why? Because once you involve others in your life, you get to invite them. You get to intrigue them, and you get to become a part of the fastest way to change the world because your life involves others. You know this scripture in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. If you want to turn there with me, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. This scripture is known as the Great Commission. It's very sentimental to me in the service that I'm involved with New Missions. Jesus gave this Great Commission. This was his last speech. This was like, can you imagine? Jesus is about to say the last words audibly ever on earth. I mean, pay attention, people, right? This is important stuff. At this time, the 11 disciples were there. He lost one. Okay, so 11 left. Here we go. We're going to give the Great Commission. And Jesus begins by saying in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, it's familiar to you, therefore, stay. Therefore, come on over here and hide and be passive. No. Therefore what? Say with me. Go. It's very proactive, friends. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Your church, that is part of your exact vision here at the church, is discipleship. We say it this way at New Missions. Together we are making disciples because it is the true measurement of success. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you, say it with me, on the sunny days, right? Only on the good days, only when things are going well. Always. Friends, maybe you've had a season of uncertainty and fear and concern and change and challenge. Friends, I'm here to tell you, He is with us always. Whose report are we going to believe? He is with us always. And maybe right now in the times of uncertainty, it's time for us to find the greater certainty. And that is He never changes. See, His peace, love, and joy is the real deal. It's not passive. It's not a phone that's going to be outdated or a brand that's going to fade away. But it's a truth that will outlast. See, I want to live in that place. I want to live in the place of certainty in Christ and who He is. We sang about it this morning. In Christ alone. Now, I'll give you guys a little insider secret. Can I do that for a minute? Pastor Max, I'm going to kind of pull them into the car. Because, you know, when two guys are in the car, you know what happens, right? You drive fast and you eat beef jerky. That's what happens, okay? When two guys are in a car, I mean, I drove over here from Salt Lake City. I mean, it was like 80 miles an hour. I'm like, praise the Lord. Finally, somebody got the numbers right, you know? I mean, hallelujah. I'm going to pick that sign up, bring it back to Orlando, slap it on I-4. I'm just like, I drive a six-speed manual transmission WRX Subaru, okay? So I don't like slow, okay? I get a witness, praise Jesus, all-wheel drive, let's go, let's rip up some tires. Okay, I really had ADD there for a minute. Excuse me, Max, I'm going to take him in the car. Driving over here this morning, Seth, that's one of the songs I listen to every time before I come to preach. Because this isn't me. It's a spiritual work. It's a supernatural work. This is a work of God. Friends, I wish I could just hug each of you right now and tell you this. The most important thing you're a part of is something supernatural. See, in Christ alone, friends, Yeah, I can wake up and look in the mirror and have self-doubt and concern and fear. But no, in Christ alone I stand in that certainty that he's going to do something supernatural today, right here, right now. Amen? That's the church I want to be a part of. Friends, if I lived here, I would be here. Because I know your pastor and his wife, Samantha, love Jesus. They love Jesus. And that's all that matters. And they believe this. They're not compromising on it. They're not ripping pages out and going, we don't believe that no more. It ain't good enough for us. Or, you know, it kind of makes us uncomfortable. I'm like, no. Amen? I believe this is so important that we're a part of the fastest way to change the world, to introduce others to Jesus, because I believe that you and I exist. You and I exist to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. That's why we exist. We exist to lead others into a growing relationship with Jesus. Let me show, paint a picture for you of how powerful this is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. Now, friends, I know this to be so real because I've been in the village where the voodoo priest would tell me that his daughter came to our school and learned about Jesus, accepts him, denounces voodooism, and is now a worship leader in the church. Because the old is gone, and the new is here, because anyone in Christ is a new creation. So you may meet a neighbor and go, man, they're really crazy and they're pretty rude and they're pretty ugly and I don't really like them. But let me tell you something. When they find Jesus and they meet Jesus, I could tell you stories about my neighbor George, who prayed to make Jesus Lord of his life in my backyard. And he's a new creation. He's a new person. Why? Because the fastest way to change the world entered his life, and it's Jesus. And that's what I want to be a part of. So what is the fastest way to change the world? It's to introduce others to Jesus. I need to close out this morning, and my time's almost done, but let me leave you with a little analogy of three brands that you're familiar with that have stolen some language from church, and they're doing this globally. They want to intrigue, they want to invite, they want to involve, and so these brands have adopted some of the philosophies of church because they know it works. Nike, the brand Nike, actually has people called ambassadors. And they're sent out to collegiate teams and professional teams to represent the brand of Nike, to create intrigue. Over at Apple, they actually have evangelists. They even had a chief evangelist to propagate the brand around the world that you would get into the ecosystem of Apple. They had a chief evangelist at Apple. And then over at Amazon, they actually have team members that they title missionaries. Missionaries at Amazon? Because they want the team member to be so focused on their job, no matter the distraction or the obstacle, they want them to be dedicated. You see, friends, I believe today God is inviting us to be his evangelists, to be his ambassadors, to be his missionaries, that we can go from here and our lives can intrigue others and our lives can invite others and our lives can involve others to be a part of the fastest way to change the world. As I was preparing this message, I couldn't help but think of a scripture in Psalm 34, verse 8, that I've been praying over us, because I think for many of us, there has been a fog that has settled. There has been a little bit of a pause and don't be proactive season. And in Psalm 34, 8, it says, taste and see. I'm Italian, so anything with the word taste in it, I say hallelujah. So taste and see that the Lord is good. Friends, I want you to go from here today and know that the Lord is still good. No matter the fog or the concern you may have been facing, we need to taste and see the Lord is good. And blessed, the scripture says in Psalm, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Friend, I need to take refuge in him today, because I'm telling you, the world out there is telling me a different narrative. It's speaking a different story. But the story I need to listen to is the story of where peace and love and joy comes from. And that I can be blessed as I take refuge in him. And because Jesus is in my life, I have complete certainty. I have complete security. Because he is love. He brings the peace that passes all understanding. Because we are going to face storms. Either we're in one, we're walking out of one, or we're about ready to step into one. And so, friends, as we go from here today, I just pray that we are each proactive. And so what I want to do this morning, kind of as a response time, I want to invite you all to stand right where you are. If we'd all stand together. And I just want to have a time of prayer over you. And I'd like to pray for each of us this morning as we've gathered here, that we would go from here sent out as his evangelists, that we may invite, as his ambassadors, that we may intrigue, as his missionaries that we may involve, because missionaries just step into people's stories and they help out in those moments of need. So let's pray together, just right where you are. If you just close your eyes and if you want to raise your hands and surrender, whatever you want to do that makes you feel as if this is a moment of definement, that we're making a proclamation today that, God, I want to be a part of the fastest way to change the world. God, would you use me to be your evangelist, to be your ambassadors, to be your missionaries, to maybe a family member or a neighbor or a coworker. God, here I am. Use me. God, I thank you for our church family gathered here today. For such a time as this, God. Use us. Send us. For your glory. And all God's people said, amen, amen.